consent agenda items, item three. Tab three in your book.
Here for the new commission members. Consent items are projects which were constructed without permits from VMRC. They were essentially are essentially violations, had not received the proper permits before the projects were constructed. In this case, we offered the opportunity for the applicants to submit the joint permit application so that we could go through the public interest review to determine whether or not it was acceptable to retain the projects and whether or not they should be permitted as they were constructed. So we've gone through that review process. In each of these cases, we've determined that the projects are acceptable. However, what the commission has authorized staff to do is negotiate basically with the applicants the amount of a civil charge that would be assessed for payment in lieu of further enforcement action relative to the violation. The commission had previously adopted a matrix for civil charges that takes into account the amount of noncompliance with the permit and the amount of environmental impact associated with the project. And so within that matrix, we identify the appropriate amount of the civil charge, and if the applicant concurs with that, we bring it to you as what we call a consent item, and we affectionately call these page three items, since they traditionally would have been the third page of the agenda. So with that said, what I will do is offer a brief explanation for each of the three projects, and I think we'll take them one at a time for your vote. So first on the agenda for the consent items is Mr. C.W. Lawrence. He is requesting after-the-fact authorization to retain additional pier width of 2 and 4 feet for three previously permitted floating docks that now measure 6 feet wide by 36 feet long, 8 feet wide by 69 feet long, and 8 feet wide by 48 feet long, and the reconfiguration of a fixed pier platform that now starts at 10 feet wide, ends at 6 foot wide, and is 12 feet long, all of which are now used by patrons of the adjacent restaurant along Jones Creek at 21088 Marina Road in Isle of Wight County. In this case, Mr. Lawrence has agreed to a $1,000 civil charge in lieu of further enforcement action, and staff is recommending approval of the after-the-fact permit modification and acceptance of the civil charge, along with a royalty in the amount of $624 for the encroachment over 624 square feet of state-owned subaqueous land at a rate of $1 per square foot. Just as way of background, Mr. Lawrence has received several permits from the commission for expansions and work at the restaurant facility along the creek over the years. He had received permits for these floating docks and fixed structures, and when we went out to do the compliance inspection, we found that they were a bit wider than what had been authorized. Mr. Lawrence basically explained that he felt he'd kept it in the footprint of what was being proposed, the overall footprint of the facility, and because of safety reasons, felt that they needed to be wider than previously permitted. While he had gotten previous permits from the commission, I guess he felt that that minor modification didn't rise to the level of, you know, needing new permits, but it actually did. And so we have, as I said, conducted the public interest review on this and felt like the additions were reasonable and are recommending approval based on the staff evaluation and our public interest review.
Any questions on item 3A? Any comments from the public? Seeing none, can we get a motion on 3A? Mr. Plumley.
I move to approve in accordance with the staff recommendation.
Motion is to approve item 3A in accordance with staff recommendation. Seconded by Mr. Tankard. Comments on the motion? Seeing none, is there any objection to the motion? Motion carries. Thank you. 3B.
3B is Bristol Virginia Utilities. They are requesting authorization to retain a buried fiber optic cable installed beneath 64 linear feet of right fork adjacent to State Route 643 in Buchanan County. In this case, the applicant has agreed to pay a civil charge in the amount of $1,000 and triple permit fees in lieu of further enforcement action. And staff is recommending approval and acceptance of the aforementioned civil charge and fees. In this case, as background, we have been working with Bristol Virginia Utilities for a number of years now as they expanded fiber optic systems throughout Southwest Virginia. And I think we've issued in the range of 40 permits or so for them, and we've not had any problems whatsoever. Information they submit is generally very good and adequate to get through the permit process. This just happened to be a case where I think they got ahead of themselves with one of their contractors, stalled the line before the permit was actually issued or they had actually applied for it. So as a result, it constituted a violation, and they have agreed to the $1,000 civil charge in lieu of any further enforcement action. And so we are recommending approval in this case for the project.
Thank you, Tony. Questions of Tony on this item 3B? Any comments from the public? We have a motion on item 3B. Mr. Fox?
Item 3B, accept staff recommendation.
Approval of 3B, seconded by Mr. Plumlee. Any objection to the motion? Seeing none, item 3B is approved. 3C.
Item 3C is Dominion Power. They are requesting after the fact authorization to retain an 8-inch HDPE conduit that encloses a 35 kV transmission line that was installed a minimum of 3 feet below the Chickahominy Lake bottom using a hand jetting method crossing 1,320 feet of the historic Chickahominy River channel associated with the replacement of an existing aerial power line south of Route 650 in New Kent and Charles City counties. In this case, the applicant has agreed to a $1,000 civil charge. Additionally, the contractor, Croft & Diamond, has agreed to a $1,000 civil charge, and these charges would be in lieu of further enforcement action. And as such, staff recommends approval of the after-the-fact permit, acceptance of the civil charge, along with a royalty of $3,960 for the crossing of 1,320 linear feet of historic river channel at a rate of $3 per linear foot and a triple permit fee of $300. In this case, Dominion Power contacted us about the same time the application was submitted for this replacement project through their agent, Croft & Diving, to let us know they felt they had somewhat of an emergency situation. This line spanned the lake overhead, was attached to a piling that was out sort of on an island, this area in the middle of the river. That had become compromised, and they felt there was a potential hazard, and as a result, they indicated that they felt like they needed to move as quickly as possible. We indicated we would attempt to get through the permit process as quickly as we could and get them their permit. They suggested that they might have to go ahead and do it anyway, which they did. They went ahead and did the work themselves. When they told us they were going to go forward with it, we did caution them to say that this is a drinking water reservoir area, the area behind Walker's Dam, and this is a, if memory serves me correct, I may be wrong, somewhat like close to a mile upstream from the dam, but that because it's a drinking water reservoir, they should coordinate any work because of the hand jetting with the city of Newport News to make sure that they didn't compromise the drinking water source as a result of that work. They did that. They got a go-ahead from Newport News, as I understand it, and then proceeded with the work. We, I think, had pretty much completed our public interest review components in 30 days or so for this and could have gotten the permit, but they had done the work by then. And so now it appears before you as a consent item. Even though it was an emergency situation, it appears that, you know, the line was in pretty bad shape for probably some time, and we would have hoped they could have come right away to get all the permits straight before they did the work, but as it turned out, they had to do it before they could get the permits, and so it was a violation. So in this case, though, we felt the civil charges were appropriate in lieu of any further enforcement action, and because of the nature of the work by the company and the contractor, we felt the civil charges were appropriate, and that's our recommendation, and they have accepted that. So with that, we recommend approval with the appropriate civil charges and royalties.
Thank you. Questions? Mr. Watkinson? Any comments from the public?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Crofton, come on up. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and the Commission. We would, I'm acting agent of Juan Crofton.
Let me swear you in, too, before you get started. You solemnly swear the testimony you'll give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God.
I do.
Thank you.
Dominion Power approached me as the acting agent for the project to begin the permit process on this project, seeing that they had put a reported line in the riser pole in the middle of the lake was about to be compromised, and they were concerned about it. We started the permit process, and after the permit came into the commission, I followed up with a meeting here in the offices to inform them of the urgency of the situation. At that time, we were fine to move along with the standard process. They would hope to initiate and expedite the permit process, which we very much appreciated. Subsequent to that meeting, there was a report from the area people that a storm that occurred had this pole, the riser pole, falling even further. And there was a distinct condition that could put undue safety concerns out to the public. If this, of course, you're caught between a rock and a hard spot, we do want to go and abide by all the permit processes, which we always do. And I, as the agent for Dominion Power, we always encourage that. However, we have the public safety to be aware of, too. And God forbid, would that line had fallen down and hurt somebody, would have been in a lot more trouble. We did want to bring this before the commission's attention. We have some photograph of after the storm, so you could see how that pole had fallen even further. Ms. Kathy Vick, who is with Dominion Power, as lead project manager, is here, and she would like to address the commission as well, if you don't mind.
Absolutely, sure.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Oh.
Good morning. Do you solemnly swear the testimony you'll give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God.
I do. My name is Kathy Vick. I work for Dominion Virginia Power. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, commissioners, and staff. Appreciate the opportunity to come and speak. We had discovered our pole line, or the pole that was in the middle of the river, was leaning. We inspected it, determined that we could go through the normal permit process, and had contracted with Crofton to start the engineering and the permit for us to do that work. After the derecho came through on June 29th, which was our third largest event on our system, we went back and reinspected the pole after we were informed that it was leaning even more, and there was evidence that the guy wires holding it and the anchor holding it were coming out of the water. We determined at that time we could not wait. We had to replace the pole. We could not take the chance that it would come over, especially with it being a navigable water and with it being high boating and fishing season. We instructed Crofton to expedite replacing the converting the wire from overhead to underground, knowing full well that you know there could be some fines, but we could not take the chance with the public safety. We had to move forward with it as quickly as possible.
Thank you. Any question, Mr. Fox?
Did anyone from Dominion Power or the contracting company call the staff and just inform them that you were proceeding on because you had to?
Yes, sir. Jay Crofton took care of all of that. He was, and it's one of the things that we wanted to make sure that staff was aware that we were proceeding and the reasons why we were proceeding. And we would have only done this but for safety factors. There is no other reason we would have gone through without a permit to do this work.
Question for Tony. Tony, when the staff is presented with emergency situations that present a very short time frame, is there a process that allows for expedition of the permit?
Not really. I mean, we just can't wait for public requirements that take a few days to get through. Have a 15-day public notice comment period, and we have to coordinate some with agencies to make sure there's not a problem with what they're asking for. However, when we do have situations like this, you know, we inform them that certainly we're not going to stop you from proceeding. We're not going to make any objection to you proceeding in light of the permit requirements, but please understand that we have to go through the public interest review and determine whether or not it ends up being okay, and then secondly, whether or not there should be any civil charge associated with that. So,
staff in agreement that this was an emergency situation and that the public, there was a threat to the public as a result of the situation?
As it turned out, I think that's a fair assessment. unfortunate thing is the line's been there and for a number of years, I understand, and you know, there's probably some indication that it was beginning to suffer wear and tear or compromise some time back, but I think the last storm probably made it worse.
Any other comments?
I would add that in this case, you know, we went with obviously the most minimal civil charge that's in the matrix.
But there is no requirement that we assess a civil charge. Okay. Mr. Plumlee?
My question was whether they followed the procedure that you would have otherwise agreed to at the end of the permitting process.
Yes.
So there's no argument that they went about it the wrong way. I'm not talking about the way they came before you, but I'm talking about the method used to make the repair. There's no argument that they used the proper method. Okay.
Mr. Robbins, you had a comment?
Well, Mr. Chairman, it seems to me that the applicant and the contractor were both well aware of the permitting requirements. There's no evidence that they tried to work around that. I mean, they made application, they were moving forward and then had to expedite things because of what is essentially a public safety consideration. And in light of the fact that that's what they were mitigating, I would suggest that we approve it, but consider eliminating the civil charges.
You want to make that a motion?
I would. I would move to accept staff recommendation to approve item 3C, including the royalty and the triple permit fee, but waiving the civil charge.
Is there a second to that motion? Second by Mr. Fox. Is there any public comment before we vote on this? Any further public comment? Okay, seeing none. Comments on the motion?
I will comment. I think personally it's a good idea and that there was no other way to go here. Sometimes you have to take things and mitigate risk for the public, and if that means going around some of our rules, I think it's a risk you have to take.
Any other comments? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion to approve item 3C but eliminate the two civil charges depicted there, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. Thank you. Thank you all.